Thanks, Jake. Hey, what about the Full Throttle full band this morning, y'all? We got the Wild Child, Rare 'Em Up Willie back in the drum cage. Put your hands together for that. Son, got me fired up. Good morning. Real quick, before we get too far, let me just say back here on the keys is Shelly's birthday. She's 26, 36, or 66. I can't remember the number, but I just know it ended with a six. We're thankful for her, man. She's served year in and year out with them wild shoes she chooses to wear, but we're thankful for her. So let's go. We're in Psalms. We're still in our Psalm series. Cody said, hey, look, we're going to do this Psalms, summer in Psalms. You just choose the Psalms that you like, the Psalms that the Lord speaks to you about, the Psalms that he speaks to me about. We'll go in no particular order, no particular way, but let's just study the Psalms and try to learn something from it. So that's what we're doing. If you're new here today, we'll be in Psalms 128. We'll be in Psalms 128, verses 1 through 6. While y'all are flipping there, we'd like to welcome everybody online. If you're watching, we're thankful you're watching Bethel and choose our place. So you put your hands together for them. Today's a fun day. Today, we're going to learn how blessed we are and how good we have it. If you're ready, say amen. Amen. Let's go. Verse 1. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of your labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life, and may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for another packed house in God's house. Lord, we thank you for each and every family that are represented here, God, the dads, the moms, the kids, and the grandparents, and the, all the people in between. Lord, I just pray that you would bless each and every one of them. I pray that when they walk out here today, Lord, that they would be remembered how blessed they are, that they would know how good we have it because we have given our life to you and we love and seek you. I pray that you would move me out of the way, that you would speak through me on this message that you've given me. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. So real quick, I was not very good in school, but I'm fixing to give you a quick history lesson. If you like history, say, let's go. All right, so there are 15 songs of ascent. 15 songs of ascent in the book of Psalms. This psalm today is one of those songs of ascent. A-S-C-E-N-T, ascent. The city of Jerusalem is situated on a high hill. So when the Jews and the people would travel, they would travel to Jerusalem for one of the three main annual Jewish festivals. They would traditionally sing this song. They would sing one of the 15 as they went on the ascent or the uphill travel up to the city. This one I love because for me, it is a perfect picture of the good life. How many of you want a good life? This one is all about joy. It's about joy for those who follow God's ways. It's about happiness and blessings. The very first time that I read this was July 23rd, 2022. Y'all are like, dang, that fool got a good memory. No, I don't. But I remember when I was young, Cody was over here in this old building and he was preaching about how mothers and fathers need to be writing in Bibles and marking up Bibles about what they're going through and what they're praying for. And they need to be writing letters to their children and grandparents writing letters to their grandchildren and just little notes here and there so that one day we can hand that Bible over to our sons or to our daughters or to our granddaughters. So when he preached that, I'm an obedient listener, just like you should be obedient listeners. And I begin writing in that Bible and I write these letters to Hayes and I write these things to Hayes and I tell him things that I'm going through and things that Marley and I have been through and where God worked and where God answered prayers so that one day when Marley gets through teaching him how to read, he can go through that Bible and be encouraged by what his father wrote down. I would encourage you to start doing that, encourage you. Verse 1, let's go to the word. Verse 1, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. Blessed is everyone. Everyone in this room, look around. This place is packed. There's not very many empty seats. Everyone. Do you want to be blessed? If we want to be blessed, we've got to fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. What do you mean, Cole? What do you mean, fear the Lord? Like, am I supposed to be scared of God? I say, you dang right. Have you read the story about Uzzah? When he touched the ark, boom, he dead immediately. He gone. What about the guy that said, no, Lord, I don't want to work for you. No, God, I don't want to listen to you. He said, okay, well, I hope that you have a big lighter because I'm going to put you inside of a big fish and it's going to be dark and stinky in there for several days. Yes, you should fear the Lord. But really, What does that mean? What does that mean? It's not a terror, but instead it's a deep loving respect for God. It's where your heart is. Where's your heart towards God? It's your heart. It's your mind toward him. It's me realizing that I have what I have and I do what I do because of Jesus Christ. It's me realizing that he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. It's me realizing that he is my provider. He is my Jehovah Jireh. It is me realizing that he has brought me from a mighty long way, a life of sin, a life of dirt, a life of no good, to a new life. I've been raised new with Christ. He has set me free. He has picked me out of the miry clay and put my feet on the rock to stay. He's got me out of there, and he's pulled many of you out of there, and he will continue to pull you out of there, and he will continue to work in your life, realizing that we are nothing without him, realizing that we were all destined for hell if we did not have the forgiveness of the blood of Jesus Christ. That is living in the fear of the Lord. That is living in the fear of the Lord. Let's talk about work. I like to work. How many of you like to work? Verse 2, you shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands, and you shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. I love to work. Work. Young people, you need to start working. You need to work. Parents, we need to teach our kids to work. We need to enjoy work. We all have to work. Just work. Work. We'll eat the fruit of our work, the Bible says. The fruit of our work. What does that look like? We'll have a little money. Some of us some more than others. We'll have a little food. Some of us more than others. We'll just work, man. Your work will produce the things that you need. Hard work is honest. Hard work is honest. It makes you an honest man. It makes you an honest woman. Hard work is honest. It's earning something instead of taking it from someone else. Hard work keeps you in good shape. Hard work keeps me looking good for my wife. It keeps you looking good. It keeps you strong. It keeps you healthy. It keeps you in a place where you're sweating out bad things and you're building this stuff inside of you, this immune system. Work. Work keeps you healthy. Work gives you something to do, because how many of you know when you have nothing to do, you start doing crap you ain't supposed to do? Work. We need to work. Young people, listen. Young people, if you're listening, say yes. Yes. That's what I'm talking about. People will want to help you, and people will respect you when they see that you're not scared to work. When they see that you will show up on time, when they see that you are there with a smile on your face, when you're dressed in a nice way and you're just ready and you're just eager, and I just want to work, I just want to earn a dollar, I want to save some money, I want to go buy a car, I want to tithe to the church. When they see people in your lives that you work with and people that you work for have good hearts and good minds, when they see a young person in 2026 show up on time and give it all they got, they are going to want to help you and they will respect you. Never forget that. You and I, we shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you to simply work. There's also another type of work the Bible talks about, another type of work that will bless each and every one of us. Paul says in Philippians 2:12, work hard to show the results of your salvation. Work hard obeying God with deep reverence and fear. Paul's saying God's working in you. God's working in you. God's working in your life. God's working. So live like it. Act like it. Read like it. Study like it. Talk like it. God is working inside of you. We gotta work out our salvation. Work it out. I can't live off of my mom's salvation. I can't live off of my dad's salvation. I can't live off of Cody's preaching and his style and his things. I got to get to a place where you say, you know what? Lord, I'm going through this. I'm not running here and I'm not running there, but I'm going to open the Word of God and I'm going to believe that it's going to cultivate inside of me just like a good field does. And you're going to teach me and I'm going to work out my salvation and I'm going to learn what I need to cut off and I'm going to learn what I need to put on. Working out your salvation will give you blessings as well. This is what God says when we live in obedience. This is my favorite scripture and favorite part of the day. If you don't hear anything else, hear this. And if this don't fire you up, the wood is wet. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 8. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commands that I am giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world. You will experience all the blessings if you obey the Lord your God. Your towns, even Anson, and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. Your fruit baskets and your breadboards will be blessed. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you will be The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. They will attack you. They will attack you from one direction, but they will scatter in seven. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything that you will do and will fill your storehouses with grain. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. It is simple. You and I become obedient, you and I become blessed. You want to be blessed, become obedient. Be obedient to the Father. Let's move to my favorite verse of the day. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine. Woo! There you go. I think we men sometimes miss this. I think we overlook this. I think we get in our job and we get in our mind and we get in our day. I think we miss this. We take this for granted. Can I just say, men, think about your wife. Think about your wife, y'all's story. Think about the million girls that God could have linked you with, but he linked you with her. And if you're not happy about it, keep your mouth shut. I mean, I was raised in Gainesville. She was raised in Guthrie. How the heck did a West Texas cowboy meet a East Texas good-looking girl? It's crazy to me. It's wild. It's just nuts. But wives, you're called to be a fruitful vine. A fruitful vine. A fruitful vine grows and produces good things. And the first thing that I think about is mama's growing babies. And some of us are blessed, and some of us have had those babies, and we have them on the all the time, or whatever that looks like. You're enjoying your family. But I also think about, when I write that down, of the ones who are having trouble and the ones that can. And it makes me think about Hannah in the Bible. When she starts praying, she says, "You know what, Lord? I'm just praying and I'm just asking and I'm believing that you're gonna give me a child." Can I just say, don't get weak in the waiting. Don't get weak in the waiting if you're having trouble having children. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with your body. Can I just say, it makes me think of the blind man. They say, "Why is he blind? Why is he blind? Why can't he can't see? What kind of sins has he committed?" The Lord said, "None, but I'm going to use this blind man's story to make everybody else around him see how good the Lord is. So your testimony and your stoutness and your belief in God will one day show the world and people around you how good God is." Wife, you can produce positivity. You can produce positivity in your house. You can produce positivity in your children. You can produce confidence in them and confidence in your husband. I ain't never seen a stud run around no marriage with his head on the ground. He usually got his neck bowed and looks pretty excited. Huh? If your husband ain't a stud, make him a stud. You can do that. You're so important. You're important to the unit of your home. Wife, if you give it all you got to be a fruit-producing wife, your home and your marriage will flourish in ways you have never seen it flourish before. Just choose it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to be a fruitful wife. Let's move forward. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Olive shoots. Olive shoot. What is an olive shoot? Vigorous, new growths, or suckers that sprout from the base roots or lower trunk of an olive tree. A farmer comes along and he propagates it. Y'all know what that means? Don't act like you do. You ain't that smart. He propagates it. To propagate means an olive tree from a shoot. You must take a cutting from the healthy parent tree and encourage it to grow its own roots. You gotta cut it from the base. The process of this clones the parent, and it ensures that the new tree will produce identical fruit. That ought to scare you a little bit. It will produce identical fruit. So that tells me that the Bible is telling us that me and Marley can look at our life and the fruit that we're producing and the things that we're doing, and it will be a telltale of the fruit that my sons are gonna produce. What are you producing? What are you cultivating? The Word wants us to teach those kids to grow, to know the Lord, to do these things. And as we move them out and as we move them over, as we do that, they begin to grow and we do as well. Check this out. When they cut the shoots off and wean the babies off and encourage them to grow, the parent tree also begins to grow more fruit up top. Come on, that's good. If you want to be blessed and you want new life and you want more blessings, well, raise your kids in the way of God and the Lord will bless you and your life will begin to produce more fruit. This is good. The responsibility of raising the next generation is on you and me. What kind of fruit are we going to produce? What kind of olive trees are we looking at? What do we have going on? Let's move forward. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Blessed is the godly man. Blessed is the godly man. I'm going to talk to all the men in here today. I'm going to talk to the young ones and all the way to the old ones. You guys that are 6 years old to 15 years old, my encouragement to you is just be pure. Just be pure. Just try to be good young men. Psalms 119:9 says, "How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word." Open your word, young men. Open your word and read it. Read your word. Mom and dad, read it to your children. Don't make it too hard. Don't cram it down their throat. Don't make it too hard. Just pay attention to what's going on in your home. In our house, Hayes is 6 years old, and Hayes is all about David right now. He's all about a sling, and he's all about a rock, and he's all about cutting the head off of the Goliath. So you know what? I'm not an idiot, and I just say, this is the Lord speaking to me. This is my discernment. So you know what I'm going to do? If Hayes' mind is already on that part of the Bible, because that's what we pray, that he would have a heart for the Lord, that he would want to understand the word, that he would want to know everything about Jesus. So I see that, and you know what? We're in 1 Samuel. We're reading 1 Samuel, and we're not doing a whole lot, but we're doing a little so that his mind can take it. And he ponders on it during the day, and he asks me about it during the day, and he asks Marley about it during the day. Can I just say there is power in you and I opening the word of God and reading it to our children? Don't make it too hard. And I would say this to you young kids from 6 to 15. Don't get in a hurry to grow up. Like, don't get in a hurry to grow up. Just enjoy each season. Your life to the day you die is going to be seasons. And just enjoy each season that God has you in. I was in such a hurry, man. I was graduated high school to a year early. I was in a hurry. I was in a hurry. I was in a hurry, and I never got nowhere. You got to have the Lord on your side. You got to be seeking God and just enjoy your seasons, man. Don't get in a hurry to grow up, and don't get tired of being good. Be good to your parents. Be good to your teachers. Be good to your classmates. Be good to yourself and be good to God. Young men, just practice purity and just practice good. Now you 16, 17 to 25 year olds, you little cocky son bucks, listen, Titus 2:6. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. The younger men to be self-controlled. Self-controlled men are, we're surrounded by a world that has no self-controlled men. But let me remind you, if you believe in Jesus and your parents bring you to church and you believe and you've given your life to Christ, you live in this world, but you are not of this world. I wish I had more self-control when I was single. I wish I would have had more self-control. I wish somebody would have drove that home with me. I wish that I would have chose to do that. Can I just say, don't be so weak that you easily give in to peer pressure around every corner like I did. Come on, be young, strong men and say no. Be who God has created you to be. He knows who you are. Be that guy. Figure it out. Work out your salvation. Cultivate the word in you and live like the Lord teaches you to live so that you can have the blessings upon blessings. And I would say, since you can drive at that age, keep your butt in church. Drive yourself up here. Mom and dad won't want to go? You go. Your friends don't want to go? You go. Can I tell you, if you begin being a leader, people will follow. If you begin coming to church, having fun, and getting changed, and you start being a better person in life, your kid, your friends at school will be jumping in that pickup with you and coming to church. Get your butt up here on Sunday and get your butt up here on Wednesday and just build relationships around the Word of God. Here's another one the Lord told me to tell you. Have self-control with your girlfriend. Have self-control with your girlfriend, young men. Have self-control. Understand why the bride wears a white dress. I'll just be honest with y'all. I just thought that's what you did. That's how dumb I was. The white dress on the wedding day tells you that I stayed pure. It tells them that I waited on my partner. I did what the Lord taught me to do. I did what the Word of God said. It's purity. I saved myself. I waited for my man. Now I'm going to have some babies, and we're going to live according to the Word of God. Can I just say, anybody can give it up, but it takes a real man to keep it. You think you're tough on the football field and you think you're tough in the brush or whatever you do, it takes a real tough young man to keep his virginity these days. Be that guy. Change the culture. Change your school. Change the people you're hanging around with. Hold on to it. If you do these things and if you be self-controlled, God's going to bring you a beautiful, fruitful bride and children of blessings. It's all God's design. Be different. Married men, we got a hard job. Ephesians 5:25 to 33 says, for husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. So no one hates his own body, but feeds it and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church. And we are members of his body. 31, as the scripture says, A man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So again, I say each man should love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Let me get on this kick real quick on verse 31. In our young years of marriage, this was a struggle for me and Marley. So you young married people, listen up. When you think you are ready and you think that you're big enough to say yes to your man or yes to your wife, you have got to realize that the family that I grew up in Guthrie and the family that she grew up in Gainesville is now our secondary families. The Bible says when me and Marley came together, we were supposed to become one. That is my priority. That is my where I need to lead as a man. That is where my mind needs to be. That is where I need to grow those up in my house. That is where her mind needs to be, because all of the counseling and all of the people that we meet with up here on a daily basis always talk about her parents, his parents, this or that. Can I tell you, be there for your parents in the season that you need to be, but have your mindset on, this is my home, and in my house, we're going to serve the Lord, and in my house, we're going to do it differently than they did, and they did, and we're going to seek Jesus together. You got to know that. You got to know that this is your main priority now. We're called to be like Christ. It's no longer about us. We went from me to us. One flesh. That's helped us so much when we just decided to know that, decided to understand that, decided to accept that. My mess ups are now Marley's mess ups. My money is her money. My prayers are her prayers. And my body is her body. Come on, somebody. The marriage, it cannot be all that God intended for it to be if we don't structure it around God and the way that he designed it. You may work for a while. It may work for a while. But look, it will never be everything that God intended for it to be until we start doing it his way and his design. Marriage can be hard, but we've also learned marriage is such a fun gift from God. It's fun. I have fun with this little turd from Gainesville. I have fun. We have fun together. I'm just thankful for my wife. I'm talking to me also right here. Men, we need to cherish her. Cherish your wife. Don't get so caught up in your job and caught up in your life and caught up in your ego to forget about the little girl you fell in love with. Cherish that little fart. Enjoy her. Enjoy hanging out with her. Enjoy her and just realize that you made a life commitment, so you better make it good. Make it good. Communicate with her. Stop holding it in. She can't look at your butt and read your mind. Look at her. Talk to her. When we do the counselings, Marley and I up here, every problem, it starts with communication. Communication. Just talk to each other. Let each other know what's going on. Just be real with each other. Communicate. Stop being a hard butt. She already said yes to you, so you ain't got nothing else to prove. So just start loving her. Be kind. Love her. My grandpa's 92 years old. I said, look, I need some marriage advice. He said, help her. And then he said, tell her you love her. He said, I wish I'd have helped my wife more, and I wish I'd have told her I loved her more. Just love her. Help your wife. Rub them nasty feet. Make it fun. Show your kids that you love their mama. Teach your kids, your boys, how to be a husband one day. Show them. Teach them. More is caught than taught. Initiate prayer. Prayer over your family. Prayer over your kids. Lay your hands on your wife and pray. There's power in it. As big and bad as we get to where we think we are, there is nothing more powerful than a man laying his hands on his wife and praying over her and her body. Pray over your family. Pray over your wife. And never stop coming together when the sun goes down. Never stop coming together. Never stop coming together. Marley told me not to do this, but I'm doing this. Ronnie Millsap, he had it figured out. He said, "What? When the sun goes down, pillow talk and love, tangled sheets and cotton gowns." I'm going to get her a cotton gown, just saying. 1 Corinthians 7, 3 through 5. The husband should fulfill his wife's sexual needs, and the wife should fulfill her husband's needs. The wife gives authority over her body to her husband, and the husband gives authority over his body to his wife. And a lot of men said, I ain't never tithed, but I'm going to tithe today. Do not deprive each other of sexual relations unless you both agree to refrain from sexual intimacy from a limited time so that you can give yourself more completely to prayer. After You should come together again so that Satan would not be able to tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Paul's saying we're going to have some lack of self-control. But can I tell you, in a world full of iPhones and TikTok and all of the junk, if you don't want your man going somewhere and you don't want your woman going somewhere, keep coming together and rub it in the enemy's face, and God will work where you can't work. Keep doing it. This will change your marriage. It will change your life. It will change the atmosphere of our married life if you and I will let it. Cornbread, this might be a good time for you to come up. They're looking at me funny. Now to you grandparents. We have any blessed grandparents in here? You grandparents. Verse 6, may you see your children's children. If you see your grandchildren being grown and being raised, you're blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed today. I love this one. And I just, Marley and I pray this all the time over our family. We pray over our boys. We pray for their wives. We pray that wherever she is, that she's being raised up in the house of God, that she's being raised up in a godly family. We pray that she would wait for marriage and that our boys would wait for marriage. We pray over the parents that are leading her and guiding her in the word of God. We pray for protection as we have them in our hands, as we have them in our home. We pray for their walk with God. We pray that they would have a desire. Can I just say, just pray, grandparents, pray over your family. There's importance in all of us just praying. And I just think about watching these grandchildren grow. It gives them life. Parents, you need to know that your old struggling grandpa or grandma gets filled up with joy every time you let them see your grandkids, your kids. So as fathers and mothers, we need to realize that they've already picked the cotton and they've already done whatever they've done and they've already went through heck on earth. Now you and I need to do our job to take our kids over there and make it easier for them to see our kids. The reason is because this world is all about relationships. The only thing that we get to take from here to heaven is relationships. Let your grandchildren be hung out with your grandma and grandpa so they can build that relationship. Don't ever overlook the blessing of grandchildren. Create memories together. We talk about memories all the time. I have memories of my one-legged grandma hiding her cigarettes. They wanted her to quit smoking. She had one leg, and I was thinking, why are they even wanting her to quit smoking? She needs one. But just let your kids create memories with their grandparents. It's our job. They're our kids. It's what we're supposed to do. I was talking to Callie Davis a while ago before the church started. She was talking about this little old lady in her life growing up. They were family friends, and they went to see her when she was in hospice, and she passed and went on to be with the Lord. But when they opened her Bible, that lady had every Christmas card of Callie's family in her Bible. Like, I feel like these are the things that we're running away from. These are the things that we're forgetting. These are the things that we're not building anymore. You young turds, I'm tired of dabbing it up. Let's shake hands. Let's look at each other. Let's talk. Let's communicate. Look, it's on me too. I'm a part of your generation, I guess. But let's look at our grandparents' lives. Let's call them. I call my grandpa 4 or 5 times a week, and we don't talk very long because he ends it, usually cuts it off pretty quick with, well, you know what I know. But I keep that going with him, and it brings him joy, and he wants to know what my sons are doing, and he wants to know what Marley's doing, and he wants to know. He just wants to know. That's how they communicate. Can I just say, young generation, my age and down, let's look at our grandparents. Let's call them. Let's talk to them. Hey, how did you get through the war? Hey, how did mom do? Hey, your grandma, whatever. Like, how did you do when grandma died? Like, talk to them. Where is their favorite verse? Where did they go to church? Where did they give their life to Christ? How do you get through when you don't have money? What did it look like? All of these things. Let's stop looking at YouTube, and let's stop looking at Facebook, and let's stop looking at Instagram, and let's just say, you know what? Today, I'm going to go spend time with my grandfather. I'm going to go spend time with my grandmother, and I'm going to leave my phone in the truck, and I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to look at them, and I'm going to talk to them, and they're going to put life that I never have onto me. We need to look at our grandparents' lives. I feel like we're running away from it, but we need to grab some and put it back into our life. And there's nothing wrong with doing what they did and just having a good job, working hard, loving God, and loving others. Let's keep it simple. Speaking of simple, today the bottom line is simple. We're blessed. All of us are blessed. We have blessings. If you feel like you don't have one, you got one. Hunt it down. Look for it. Remember it. Take it in. Carry it with you. Don't forget how blessed we are. Y'all stand and we'll pray it out. God, I thank you for today. I thank you for the simple word that we read in Psalm. Lord, I pray that all of us today would leave here knowing how blessed we are. Lord, I pray that you would just put a flame inside of us that would just remind us when we want to have a bad attitude or we want to play the little I'm so down and I'm so out game, God, that you would just remember and remind us that we have it good, that you are blessed. Lord, I pray for all of us as we go to work tomorrow. I pray that men would stick their chest out and smile like they ain't never smiled. And I pray that it would make everybody around them think, what is wrong with him? I pray that we would just take the happiness of our home to our workplace, that we would shine the light of Jesus Christ, that we would give it all that we got wherever we go, whatever we do, and that we would remember, I'm not here because of Cole, but I'm here because of the blood-stained cross of Jesus Christ. Lord, let us all go to our workplace this week with a little different attitude, with a little bit more happiness in our heart. Lord, I pray over each and every wife here. I pray for the wives that have babies that they are growing and they're wore out and they're changing diapers and they're going here and they're going there. And I just pray, God, that you would strengthen them, that you would just give them a strength that they've never had before. I pray that you would give them new life, Lord, that you would just see and just remind them how blessed they are to be doing all of these things with their kids. I pray for the women in here that are struggling to have kids, God, that you would just give them a strength to not be weak in the waiting. And God, that they could just go ahead and see that you have a future plan for them and that the walk and the things that they're going through right now will be a testimony of what you're going to do in their life. It will be a testimony not only to them and their husband, but God, to the ones that they do life with and the ones that they're surrounded by. Everybody will be able to see how good the Lord is in their life when you work. I pray over each and every kid in here, God, from the babies to the 25-year-olds, Lord. I pray that you would give us all a new strength, a new view, a new vision, God, that these young kids would wait, that they would understand the importance of waiting, God, that they would wait on their spouse, that they would just be the new man, be the new girl, and just change the situation around them, Lord. I pray that the young men and the young girls would just respect their mama and respect their teachers and would just work to be pure souls in Jesus and in Jesus' house and in their house at home and wherever they go in their school and all the things that they do. I pray over all the grandparents in here, God. God bless the grandparents. Lord, I pray that you would just be with them as they go from this day forward. I pray that you would be with their health, that you would be with their mind, that you would be with their strength, and that you would just see, that they would see, God, how much you love them by the grandchildren that they get to see on a daily basis. I pray that parents would make that happen. I pray that if we are convicted today that we don't do that, Lord, that we would begin to do that with our grandparents. Lord, let the old life go. And let's put the new life on. Lord, let us take a little bit of what we learned from our old generation and put it in this new one, Lord. Speak to us in this last song. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. And everybody said,